podcast that teaches you how to have a higher quality sex life, where I share cutting edge research in neuroscience and psychology, relatable stories, and practical mindfulness-based skills so that you can maximize your pleasure potential and unlock more awareness and energy in every area of your life. I am Master Life Coach and Mindfulness Expert Danielle Savory, and I am thrilled to be on this journey with you. Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing? I'm doing really well. I just recently got back from a family vacation in Maui, which was so amazing. And, you know, it's a family vacation. And I think one of the things that you learn when you have children and you vacation with them, and also when you vacation with, like, we vacation with our extended family, not extended, but my in-laws and my sister-in-law and her kids, and is to go into it with expectations, realistic expectations, right? I think one of the things when I first became a parent, I went into vacation with kids thinking it was going to be the same. And for those of you who are parents, you realize very quickly that's not actually the case. Things move at a lot slower pace, but not like in a relaxed way, slower pace. The children versus you and their idea of vacation is like, oh my God, I get mom and dad to myself. Let's do all the things. But we had such a fun time. We had a little bout with the stomach flu and not feeling our best. But all in all, it was an amazing vacation. And I'm really grateful to be back. I think that's the thing when you start to create a life that you don't need a vacation from, even though it is very welcomed. It's fun to, like, George and I were laying in bed last night. He's like, okay, so real life starts tomorrow. Are you ready? I'm like, yeah, I am. I really am ready. I love coming back to my routine. I love coming back to speaking with my clients, and I'm working on a lot of stuff in my business right now. I'm super excited about my new website. I haven't done a new website in like 3 years or something, is getting put together. So that's been really fun to work with, and gathering all the testimonials from the clients I've been working with has just been really fun to review it and go through it. Can't say I'm a huge fan of creating copy for my website, but I have somebody that has been so kind and holding my hand and helping me through all of it. So all of that fun things to come. So keep a lookout for that. I'm also creating a new training, which is going to be absolutely fabulous. It's a total free training. So if you are not on my mailing list, you should get on that to make sure you get all of the details. Plus, I've been sending out some really fun and sexy emails, like on Valentine's Day, like sexy tips for Valentine's Day. So if you're not on my email list, get on my email list. You can just simply drop me a line at daniellesavorycoaching@gmail.com, and I can add you that way. Or you can go to my website, daniellesavory.com. You can just sign up for now. You can just say, like, I want the old masterclass. I'm trying not to send that one out as much, but if you want it, I'm happy to send that to you, but that will automatically get you on my email list. So, okay, enough of that. Let's talk about what we are going to be chatting about today on the podcast. So one of the things that I think is so fun is reading through the applications of the people that are wanting to work with me, my potential clients. And one of the questions I ask about is, why do you want coaching? Like, kind of like, what's going on? You know, what's going on in your sex life or in your life? And what do you think the problem is? And I also ask this during my consultation. So I hop on the phone with everybody that's a potential client just to see if we're a good fit and how we feel with one another, and if coaching is for sure the next best right step, and if coaching with me is the next best right step, right? And I love to hear all of the responses about why women don't think they are having the best sex life, right? And it can be partner issues. It can be distraction during sex, to issues about their body. And a lot of the women that come to me aren't having a horrible sex life. Some people aren't, you know, they think it could be better. I mean, there's a whole range from my sex life sucks to actually my sex life is really great, but I want to see what more is there for me, right? So I get a whole range of requests and clients that I work with, from people who have had zero orgasms to people who are having regular sex with their partner and they're even having great sex. They want to up level it in another way, right? And many women have grown up also just with different ideologies and belief systems that don't encourage pleasure, and especially sexual pleasure. That's a big one that I work with people, whether it's from religious issues or just growing up in, you know, Western civilization or civilization in general that doesn't support women's sexual pleasure. And we think it's like one thing, right? If only my partner knew what he was doing, if only I could get out of my head, if only I wasn't so stressed or so fucking tired at the end of the day, then this would be better. But the thing is, it's never just one thing. It's all of you. That's what, you know, really finding this sexual empowerment is about. It's a whole entire system. And if you want better sex, you know, we could focus on one thing and you would probably have amazing results. But in order to reach your pleasure potential, as I like to call it, right? Get to that mind-blowing state. You need as many systems as possible turned on towards pleasure. Pleasure really needs all of you to show her like all of the layers, right? It's like all the thoughts, all the motivation systems in your brain are sharing the goal of getting you off, of turning you on, and then turning you all the way up. Are you hearing me on this? Okay. So again, we don't have to have every single thing lined up and perfect for amazing sex. Absolutely not. You can have some really, really, really good sex with adjusting just one area. But the more areas you incorporate, the more pleasure you will be able to access. So this is what I work on, especially with those clients that are having really good sex. And they're like, what else is there? What more is there? And oftentimes, it's smaller tweaks, right? It's smaller tweaks to different parts of the whole system that allows the entire experience of pleasure to rise. So I want you guys to think of it this way. Have you ever seen those kids that are, you know, they're like preschool or kindergarten age or something, crossing the street, and the teacher has this long rope on one end, and usually there's another teacher on the other end. And then in between are all the kids, and each kid has a handle attached to the rope. Like, it's so damn cute. And it's hilarious too, if you really watch them trying to like get to the park or get across the street, like there's so many of them who are just like lollygagging around and not paying attention. And this teacher is just like trying to get everybody to pay attention so we can all get across the street. It's like, yep, that's a stick on the ground. Like, let's keep going. Or, you know, usually there's one of the kids who's like stopped everything up because their pants are all the way up their buns and they're just trying to like pull it out, right? And eventually they do make it to where they want to go. Because luckily, a majority of them, including like the leader, the teacher, is pulling them along. And the back teacher is usually like, hey, you, Sam, like, come on, get with the program, grab the rope, let's go. Right. But it takes time. It takes like a ton of redirecting and cajoling and grabbing each one of their attention to get across the street. Now, let's say for instance, that there is more motivation that for them all to get across the street very quickly. Like, there's somebody that they really want to see on the other side of the road. Maybe it's Elmo or, I don't know, some relevant thing to preschoolers now on the other side of the road, right? An ice cream truck, a brand new thing on the playground, whatever it is. And they are really all motivated and focused on getting across the street. Now, whoever they're going to be able to get across that street to this desired destination when they keep their focus on this shared goal, right? If they're like, Elmo, then they're much more likely to get across the street. They're keeping their focus. There's no wedgie picking. There's no sticks that they're trying to pick up. There's no fancy gum that they have noticed in the middle of the sidewalk that they're trying to pick off, right? There's no bird flying over the head like, get your hand, look at that bird. Like none of that shit is happening, right? They have their handle in their hand. They have their destination set in their eyes. They're looking straight forward and they walk. Okay. And this, my friends, is the perfect depiction of what I mean when I'm talking about getting all of you on board for pleasure, okay? It's like all the kids on the rope are focused, are walking in a straight line to get across the street. There's not these randos pulling the handle in each direction, taking it longer and not getting there efficiently. So your brain is like a group of toddlers doing their very, very best to get to the other side. But if you want to get there to the promised land of pleasure and possibly orgasm, then you have to get to work getting all of your systems focused on the shared goal. Now, again, when I say focused on the shared goal, please keep in mind, I'm not talking about orgasm here. Okay, we've talked about this before and I will keep saying it, but orgasm is not the goal of mind-blowing sex. It often is the result of mind-blowing sex, but it definitely isn't needed for you to have amazing mind-blowing sex and feel oodles and oodles of pleasure, okay? Again, so when you focus too hard on an orgasm, then it's easy for the mind and your body then to slip into this goal-oriented sex, like a very, very focused and attached to the goal, attached to the orgasm type of sex. And this feels really tense. You can feel it in your body. You can feel your entire body starting to like clench up. Like not wanting to like let the possibility of orgasm go and chasing after it. And it actually takes away from the amount and the level of pleasure you're able to feel. So instead of on getting all systems a go for orgasm, we are helping getting all systems a go for pleasure. Got it? So it's a light touch on the goal, but just not white knuckling our way towards it. Okay, so anyway, we are getting all of our systems set for pleasure, and I want to talk to you about the different players going on here. Again, it isn't necessary for us to have all systems completely a go, but the more systems that you do have involved, the more systems that you have directed towards pleasure and experiencing pleasure, then the more pleasure you're able to experience. Also, because we are all wired very differently, some of you might experience extreme pleasure with only one or two systems focused and in line with this, and others need most of these systems on board to experience pleasure. It totally depends. This is why your own reflection and your own exploration of like your sexual well-being is so important, because we aren't all the same. And what feels good in our sensitivity and also our responses to stimuli, good or bad. Okay, so some things you might want to look out for. Some will be obvious and some not so much, okay? One of those, the first one I think is so important, is your physical comfort. I think that this oftentimes gets very overlooked with women in sex. Obviously, there's just the comfort of sex, right? Like, does this hurt? Does it not hurt? Does it feel good? But even outside of the sex, like, are you hot? Are you cold? Like, is it just like, can it just be right? Right? You know, it's that Goldilocks metaphor. Can we get right to the middle of it just being right? Now, this might not feel like a big deal, but think about it. Like, part of your brain is very concerned with homeostasis, right? Am I too hot? Am I too cold? How do I need to cool down? How do I need to warm up to feel good? And the brain, if it is not comfortable, especially with body temperature or anything else going on with your physical comfort, is going to be searching for ways to get you back to that place that feels good. I know for me specifically, like if I'm cold, it's really hard to experience and focus on pleasure. Even if my body is trying to warm up in the subconscious level, like I'm cold. I like to be warm. Even if I have to deal with pesky blankets or have really ugly wool socks on, like it doesn't matter. Coldness is a big turnoff for me. So think about that for yourself. Are you warm enough? Are you too hot? Could you do something to help regulate, you know, the comfort level so that your brain doesn't have to worry about it? Because the more that your brain is worrying about that, the more you're going to be distracted. Some other things, just thinking about, like, did you just eat? Did you give your body some time to digest? Like, what are your sheets feel like, or the whatever you're on? Or is it itchy? Is it distracting you? Do you have something poking your ass? Like, what is happening that could be a major distraction? Again, all of these things aren't necessary. You don't have to have perfect conditions to experience pleasure. Let's not get OCD about it. But think about the toddlers on the rope again. Okay. There's a difference between somebody being like a little distracted, like, ooh, look at that pretty butterfly, or stopping in the middle of the damn street because of a rock in their shoe that they just have to stop right then at this very convenient time to get out of their shoe. And the entire rope now gets pulled towards stopping and pausing and getting the rock out, right? Is your body's discomfort a big enough distraction to do something about it? Is it like stop in the middle of the street sort of distraction, or is it a quick glance another way? But whatever you can do and whatever level you're at, sometimes it's these big things you need to change. And sometimes it can be very small, you know, nuances or distractions, but everything that you can tweak, even if it's just a little bit much to help get all systems on board, is going to increase your experience of pleasure. Another big category that I want you to think about is safety, is the brain's interpretation of, am I safe? Now, I'm going to assume that if you're listening to this podcast, and for most of the situations that we're talking about here, you're not in imminent danger, right? This is consensual sex that you're having. And this consensual sex is still can be very vulnerable experience. But what I like you to think about when it comes to safety is, do I feel comfortable enough to proceed forward, right? Do I feel trusting of the situation? Do I feel trusting of myself, of your partner, of your method of contraception, of not getting quote unquote caught having sex, right? Sex is a very vulnerable thing. And oftentimes I think we assume that because we've been with somebody for a long time, that there shouldn't be this trepidation. And of course it feels safe. You're like, yeah, of course I don't feel in danger with my husband, but there is still this level of threat in our brain for most women, because it can feel very scary to talk about to your partner, even if it's been somebody you've been with forever, right? Or for multiple years, there is still a nervousness in creating that emotional safety to open up and talk about what you're experiencing or what you want or what you need more of. Like to say stop to something that you're doing and aren't enjoying, right? Can feel very vulnerable, and it might not feel super safe in your brain yet. To even say something like, hey, slow down, or can we turn the lights on or off? Or just giving yourself permission to really be seen. Like pause and look in your partner's eyes for an extended period of time. that can feel kind of scary. And so creating emotional safety within yourself, within your relationship, so that you can kind of take your sexual intimacy to the level that you want to go. To be able to just say something simple like, hey, I really don't like it when you bite my lip. Can you please stop? That can feel very scary. So there's a lot of ways that we can create safety with yourself and trusting yourself, but also with your partner, having that conversation, putting a hand on your heart and just reminding yourself that you're okay, that no matter how your partner responds, like you've got your own back. Right? That you don't want to, of course, hurt your partner's feelings, but you're also not in charge of how they receive information. That you can continuously be kind and loving in your delivery of any kind of message, especially when it comes to sexual requests, but that you, again, aren't responsible if they don't like what they hear. Right? And this leads me into my next category, which is your relationship. So when we're talking about all systems being on board on top of physical comfort and creating safety for yourself, within your relationship, like how connected are you also feeling to your partner? Like, is there something that maybe you're thinking about that's getting in the way of feeling connection or even just loving towards your partner? Have you guys been like flirting with each other, or have you been giving the side eyes to each other lately, right? Just notice the difference here. I recently had a client who was just super annoyed with her husband on a variety of fronts, and it was blocking her from wanting sexual connection or pleasure. Like pleasure just became so down on the list because she was just like, he's annoying me, right? And so we got on the phone and I coached her on it, and she walked out of the conversation feeling so empowered and excited and in a really good mood and ready to have sex with her husband for her. Did we change her husband during that conversation? No, he's the same. Everything was the same. The circumstances were the same, but we were able to take a look at what she was thinking about him, how she was relating to him, that was creating all this annoyance and resentment and frustration, right? What we did change was how she felt towards him. And that is the magic sauce, ladies, right? You don't have to change your partner in order to feel more loving towards them or eager for them or excited about them. We can take a look at what's going on in your mind and shift that. So what is the main emotion swirling around between you two? And does it feel more or less aligned with pleasure? And how might you tweak it so that pleasure feels like something that you're eager to explore with each other? And then another thing outside of just how it feels in the relationship, another system that you want to take a look at, it's just your partner in general. Like, how attracted do you feel to them? Like the smells or the touch, or like, does these sort of things, the way that you look at your partner, lead you towards desire and closer to pleasure or further away? Is it a turn off? Is it shutting you down? If you're like, yeah, no, thank you, right? And please don't hear me on this and think that your partner has to be like an ultimate dream boat honey bucket or something for you to feel desire for them and attraction towards them. But if your brain is focusing on all the parts of your partner you don't like and that you don't find attractive, like something that they do or something that they say, and you're just honing in, you're like, I just wish they would stop saying that one thing, or they're farting. This has been something that came up recently with one of my clients. She was like, I am just really put off because he just farts all the time. And I don't like that. And every time he farts, it completely shuts down any chance that I wanted to have sexual connection with him, right? So there's these things that our brain is going to focus on. And when we hyper-focus on them and not the ways we actually are attracted to our partner, then we're not going to be attracted at all. And maybe there needs to be a conversation, right? Again, we can't assume that we have to change our partner in order to connect with them, But for sure, you can ask them, can you please not do that? Like that, you can even say, you know what, that's kind of, you know, shutting me down right now. Like, I really want to be making out with you. But when you're just sitting here ripping one constantly, I have a hard time getting into a desirable and sexy mood. You can make it fun. You can make it playful. You're not trying to be mean or hurt their feelings. But if there's something that's really getting in the way, then just have a conversation about it. But also don't assume that they have to change. But for sure, talk about it. Okay. Another system you want to make sure that you're taking a look at is your space, the environment that you're in. Like, are you distracted or relaxed in your space? One of the things I just really noticed when I'm on vacation, and I've talked about this on a different episode, it was one of my first episodes about vacation sex, is one of the reasons it can be so much better is because of the space, because you have clean sheets. Usually the room is pretty tidy or minimalist. Perhaps you go on vacation and you don't have kids. And all of these things are going to lead sometimes to a much more pleasurable experience because you're not distracted by your space. So think about the room right now that you're typically have sex in, or even a room that you want to be having sex in. And are there things in this room that are pulling your attention away? Like a drawer that's left open, or the overflowing hamper, or items like on the floor, like your kids' stuffed animals or books or toys or something that immediately creates your brain to go into mommy mode instead of like sexy goddess vixen mode, right? It's important to think about these things. Again, this is one of the reasons when you get away from your house and you're having sex that you experience so much pleasure is because your brain isn't automatically distracted or triggered by something in your room that's like, oh yeah, remember you have to do this, or remember your kids. And then all of a sudden you feel like more of a mom than more of, you know, that sexual energy that you're trying to bring. So take a look around your room. This is one reason why it's really good to like clean up your room and not have that clutter, or even make a morning routine a part of it, is how can you minimize and declutter your space so that more pleasure can enter there. Again, all of these things are creating the atmosphere both internally and externally that are going to support and encourage pleasure. So think about your space. Is it inviting? Does it turn you on, or does it turn you off? And then the last area that I want to talk about today is your mental state. Obviously, right? Like, are you stressed out? Are you like anxious Annie, right? Do you have a lot on your plate? Like, be real and be honest. Like, how many to-dos do you have swirling in your head right now? Like that newsletter that you have to write, the damn dentist appointments. I swear it's always the fucking dentist appointments that are like randomly stressing me out that I need to schedule. I know it's a simple thing. I could just take care of it, right? Or the puppy obedience classes, or the political debates. There's a lot that your mind could be thinking about right now, be distracted by, be stressed about at any given moment. But that doesn't mean that's the best environment for pleasure. So are you able to get ease for yourself? Are you able to create a less distracted mind and a less distracted mental place? So really think about, what is your mind being consumed about? How are you able to like get out of this stress cycle? What is your practice for relaxing and calming down your mind so that you can approach your sexual interactions with more ease and less stress? And then also think about your mental state as it directly relates to sex. To the sex you are having or will be having. Is there any performance anxiety creeping in, or nerves, or maybe criticism about your body? These can all be highly distracting during sex, but the more aware you become of them, the more you can get your system primed for pleasure. So I wanted to share all of these with you so you get an idea of a variety of the categories that you may want to check in with yourself on. You can choose just one of these areas to get your like on the pleasure train, right? And your sex is still going to become so much better. But the more and more you can incorporate, you know, the subtleties and the bigness of each one of the categories, the more pleasure you're going to be able to experience. Pleasure is a whole system. It's an all go sort of thing. So the more that you get on board of your brain, of your body, of your attention, of all of those subtlety nuances, like digesting and your coldness or your hotness or your connection with the partner, the more fireworks you're going to be able to experience. Okay, that's it for today, guys. As always, it's been my absolute pleasure sharing this episode with you about getting all of you on board. If you have the time, please just take just a minute and write a review or rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps get these out there. And also, I just love hearing from you guys. I love hearing how this resonates with you. I love hearing how it's supporting you. Share it with one of your friends. Let's get the word out there and create a more pleasured and empowered woman force. Woohoo. Okay, have a good one. Talk to you later.